who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured, underline that word, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Tonight, I believe it's a word for the season. Even though you might not like it, it's the word from the Lord. It's the word called endurance. Open your mouth and say endurance. Between your promise and the fulfillment of a promise that God gives you, what is needed is what is called endurance. When God gives you a promise, you are excited. When you hear about Jesus the first time, you are excited. When you have a revelation of the call of God in your life, you are excited. That's good. And you started the race to run for the Lord. But what is needed before you finish the race the most is what is called endurance. When you start a business, you are excited. When it reaches its peak, you're kind of happy, excited. But what is needed in between is what is called endurance. Endurance is being termed as the capacity to withstand or outlast pressure. Endurance is the capacity that God wants to give you to withstand or outlast pressure. It's called the staying power. Endurance means the ability to put up with things in your circumstances without giving up. People who have endurance don't give up. Look at somebody and say, I refuse to give up on Jesus. Amen. Endurance, that word means the power to overcome or to prevail over. When the excitement of a promise is over, what is needed is endurance. Are you with me? Abraham, God told him at the age of 75, you will have a son. And at the age of 100, God gives him a child of promise. Those 25 years, he had to endure. Noah, he was a preacher of righteousness. He preached about the coming rains that would flood the earth for over 100 years. Can you imagine that? Preaching for over 100 years without massive results, only his family got saved. But through those 100 years, what he had was what was called endurance. David, when he was 17 years old, God told him, son, I've anointed you and will make you a king. And for the next nearly 13 years, he was running around from Saul, who was trying to kill him. What he had in those years was what was called endurance. Praise the Lord. Amen. Joseph, God gave him a dream of sun and moon and stars bowing down before him when he was at the age of 17. Again, 13 years later, at the age of 30, he saw the fulfillment. But for those 13 years, what he had was what was called endurance. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sometimes we want instant results. Sometimes we want breakthroughs. We want to just experience the fire of God and revival and glory and blessing one after the other. But let me tell you, there is a space that only endurance can fill in your Christian life. There'll be times when you have started the race and notice nobody else running with you. In a marathon race, you start a race. In the beginning, it's excitement. Everybody's running with you. After some distance, you ask a marathon runner, he will tell you, after some distance, you won't feel a companion by your side. Your oxygen level is getting depleted. Your legs are aching. Your body is tired. The sweat is dripping down. And at that time, what you have is what is called endurance. And that is what gets you to the finishing line. You don't have to be fast, but you need to finish the race that God has called you to. And what you need to do to finish the race is what is called endurance. Lift your hands and say, Lord, anoint me with the grace of endurance. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 5 areas to endure from God's word. 5 areas. The first area is the ability to endure hardship. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Oh yes. Hallelujah. Are you hungry for God's word tonight? 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 3 and 4.
If you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Yes, Paul is writing to Timothy and saying, thou therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Paul is writing to Timothy and saying, son, endure hardship. In your Christian life, God wants you to endure hardship. Hardship is just not difficulty. There are tough times in everybody's life. Sometimes you come to the Lord and you think your walk is going to be a very rosy walk. There will be no thorns in the path, just roses. But let me tell you, in your Christian life, no matter who teaches you what, study God's word, there will be times of hardship. And that's what builds your character. And what you need at that time is what is called endurance. Praise the Lord. You know, in the beginning when I stepped out for the Lord, I was so excited about the gifts of the Spirit. So we would have people fall under the power of God every time we would get together for a meeting. We would have the glory of God come upon people. They would speak in tongues. Demons would leave. Those who were possessed, sick would get healed. I still enjoy moving in that anointed ministry, and I still do. But at a young age, stepping out for the Lord, I thought Christian ministry and Christian walk was all about this, because every time you step in for a meeting, you're seeing healing, deliverance, the anointing, boom, boom, and you're looking forward to that. Wow, the revival, the fire, people are jumping up in excitement, and that's all I wanted. And then when hardship came, I thought, oh my God, have I lost out on God? Why is not God working a miracle? Why is nothing happening? What is happening, Lord? I need something again. I need something else. And the Lord said, son, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I am teaching you to endure. I am giving you endurance. Praise the Lord. I am giving you staying power. I am giving you a power that is supernatural, the gift of God, the grace of God that will flood your system, that will cause you to endure. Praise the Lord. Endure hardship as a good soldier. That soldier is a military word. It's a military word. It's called disciplined training. How do you endure? By joining the military, the army of God. Disciplined training. I joined the Navy years back. I wanted to join everything. I joined up for karate classes. I joined up for everything that you could find. You know, that was kind of exciting. So I joined up for the Navy and I went there to, you know, boom, naval base and all that with, and I liked the uniform. It looked kind of good. So I went there. But after a month, you know, they told me I had strong people in influencing on my behalf. And so I thought it would be very easy and comfortable. And I was trying to pull my weight there. And then after a month, they told me, son, you need to cut your hair. Oh boy. They trim it really low. And that's the time I thought, I don't like this Navy anymore. I don't like the Navy anymore. Because suddenly there was thing about discipline. I didn't like it. I had long hair. I had a beard. I enjoyed that. When you join the army, your hairstyle will change. When you eat what you eat, everything changes. Are you with me? In the army, when you join, what they're trying to do in the training is to get that civilian attitude out of you. Military's got an attitude. They want to get the civilian attitude out of you and get you into a military attitude. In a civilian attitude, you sit down for dinner or breakfast or lunch. You enjoy the meal, you chat, you enjoy each dish, you chatter around with it, and it goes on for hours sometimes. But in the military, you learn to eat, standing up. Eat what is set before you. Praise the Lord. Once a girl asked her mama, why do we pray before meals? So the elder brother said, with the food that mother cooks, we need to pray. Now what I'm saying is, you in the military, you learn to eat, standing up, what is set before you. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God tries to get some discipline into your system. Sometimes people are all excited about, okay, shall we try out that restaurant? Then after that, will we try out that restaurant? Now, I'm not against eating out. Please do. I also myself enjoy all that. But what I'm saying is to have a disciplined mindset. Praise the Lord. Amen. In the military, what they try to do is to get fear out of you and get courage in. They're going to push you into the swimming pool. I didn't even know how to swim properly, but you're standing by the deep end and suddenly one guy comes and pushes you into the deep end and suddenly you're thinking you're going to die because you're going down and up and down and up. Well, it's pretty tough, but what they're trying to do is get fear out of you. Are you with me? In a civilian attitude, you always learn to put yourself first. It's always me, myself. And no one else. It's my life. I want to do my thing. I want to go where I want. This is my life. That's what you do in a civilian lifestyle. But in military, they try to get that out of you. It's no longer your life, son. You're going to serve your country. You're going to serve the army. Your platoon matters. Are you with me? You are there in a bunch of guys and you got to back each other up. Oh boy, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, in civilian life, you're always thinking about self-interest. And so Paul is writing to Timothy and saying, son, I want you to know that you got to end your hardship like a good soldier. I want you to get self-interest out of you. The first response in any situation should be, what about the other person? What about the other person? What about the kingdom of God? Years back, the Lord showed me an amazing vision. I can never forget that. He showed me a vision of an army rising up across the world. And the Lord said, son, you will have a very small part in that, but you will belong in my army. You're going to stand in the front lines. I was so excited. I said, yes, Lord, amen, praise God. I was so excited by that vision. I shared that vision in the church at that time. So many of them were excited. But when the test began, when the hardship began, many of them began to be kind of dropouts. Nobody wanted to get into a disciplined lifestyle. Nobody wanted to keep their focus. Nobody wanted to say, we are in the Lord's army. We're going to keep our focus. We're going to stand together as one bunch and hallelujah, stand up and glorify Jesus and defeat the powers of the enemy. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody in the house tonight? Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Amen. In the army, you learn to adjust to a life of discipline, routine, and habits. We hate that, don't we? Those words. Discipline, routine, habits. Whew, there goes my revival. Is there something much more easier than that, Pastor? Discipline, routine, habits. Your habits determine your destiny. Are you with me? Your habits determine your destiny. The Lord spoke to me and said, son, you can't walk in sin all the time and then when Jesus comes in great glory, expect to be raptured and caught up. No, we are saved by grace, I understand that. But let me tell you, your habits definitely determines your destiny. If you're walking by the grace of God, there's going to be a transformation after one day, after 2 days. I mean, God is going to be patient with you. He's going to allow you enough and more space to change, and He's going to give you all the grace that is needed. But you're going to cooperate with Him and allow Him to change you, so that when He comes in great glory, you're going to be captured into be with Him in glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Routine is something that you do always. Look at somebody and say, routine is something that you do always. You tell me what you do always, I'll tell you where you are going. What your life will become. Routine. What is routine? The car engine functions by routine. The pistons are there, the oil is there, everything is there. The driver doesn't have to find out, is the piston working, is the oil going in and that. No. It's programmed. It'll just flow. Your heart works in routine. You keep your hand by your heart, it goes boom, 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 boom. Is it going? Everybody sure the heart is going? Boom, 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 boom. If it goes beep, then it's gone. What I'm saying is, it's routine. Are you with me? If the heart was to think, should I beat again? No, I've been beating for so many years now. Should I beat again? if the heartbeat ponders for a moment, oh boy, hallelujah, you're going to see the Lord much earlier than you thought. Praise the Lord. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Amen. The heart functions by routine. The routine keeps your body alive. The function or the routine of the heart keeps your body alive. Through excitement, through disappointment, through failure, through sadness, through all that you go through, whether it be good or bad, you stay alive because of your routine. Therefore, never abandon a godly routine. I say that again, never abandon a godly routine. Seeking the Lord, praying, should be a routine. Coming to church should be a routine. It's not like, should I go to church today? No. You can think about the movies like that. It should be a routine. Should I witness for the Lord? Yes. Should I pray? Yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I saw this brother, hallelujah, sitting in the front of this handsome young looking guy. He was, hallelujah, at 11:30 in the night, he was witnessing to one of his friends on the road. Praise the Lord. Excellent. Good. Let that be a routine. Praise the Lord. We are in the army. Praise the Lord. We are in the army. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are in God's army. Mental and physical capacity to withstand pressure. There's a mental discipline. Look at somebody and say, there's a mental discipline. Your mind is under your control. Tell somebody, your mind is under your control. You should learn to take charge of your mind. Otherwise, your mind will play games with you. Mental discipline means your mind. Lester Sumrall, the man of God, he said, the morning when I get up, when I think I can't do without coffee today, I just need a cup of coffee today. He says, that's the day I don't take coffee. Because I want to subject my body and my mind to the discipline of my spirit. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Amen. Imagine a military guy standing behind a wall, and the enemy soldiers are walking on the other side, and he's standing there with his gun, AK-47, he's standing there. And suddenly a cockroach comes down his face like this. He better be disciplined. If he gets upset by the temporary discomfort and shout, the enemy bullet is going to get into him. Are you with me? You better keep your mind when there is discomfort. You got to keep your focus on the Lord. You got to keep your focus on eternity. You got to keep running the race. You got to end your hardship like a good soldier. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't scream for everything. Are you with me? With every discomfort, some people are, Pastor! Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus Christ. I feel a very anointing of a militant anointing in this house tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have a commander. His name is Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and praise his name for a few seconds. Give him glory. Hallelujah. Let that grace, that militant anointing, that anointing of hallelujah, discipline and grace just flow through into your system from Jesus. Lift your hands and receive from Jesus tonight. Just lift up your voice and glorify the name of Jesus. Amen. You have to teach your mind. You won't act in a way. You won't act in a way that is harmful for me or for others. You have to teach your mind that. Your mind, unless you have, of course, lost your mind. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. The second thing to endure in God's word is endure hostility. That means unfriendliness. Again, that word hostile is a military term. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3, the word that we read, but the next verse. Hebrews 12 and verse 3.
For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls.
Amen. He endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And so in your fight against sin, you have not had to resist to the point of death. But Jesus faced hostility. Hostile, that word military term means an opponent targeted for elimination. When you step out for Jesus, you might not hear it in the churches these days, but let me tell you, be prepared for hostile people. In life, expect people to be hostile. If you're looking for people to love you and rave about you and shake hands with you and, you know, put you on their Facebook and kind of boom, 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 let me tell you, you start standing up for Jesus, you will be on a hostile list pretty soon. When a child comes out of a womb of a mother, why does the baby cry? Because the baby is shocked by the hostility that it is receiving right now. Light, sound, cold water. Now somebody's stabbing it. It needs to breathe with its own lungs. Till then it was breathing with its mama's lungs. And it starts to cry. It's come to a hostile world. Jesus endured hostility before his birth, at his birth, all through his life, at the cross, and even today. But we stand up for the name of Jesus Christ tonight. We honor him. We will worship him. We will lift up his name, and we will proclaim that Jesus reigns. Hallelujah! And you and me being his disciple, you're going to face some hostility. What do I mean by that? Ridicule, mockery, rejection, threats, treachery, blackmail. But you got to learn in your life to live with rejection and contradictory evidence. I will explain that as we go on. Don't look for acceptance in this world. I'm sorry to say that, but don't look for that. Are you with me? If you're looking for that, you should get out of earth. Some people are going to reject you because they will get intimidated by you. Some people will reject you because they get insecure by you. If you are very nice to people, still people will reject you. If you are the best looking guy or girl in the class, some group of people are going to reject you. If you are the worst looking person, somebody else is going to reject you. If you are the most intelligent guy in the class, somebody is going to say, oh, then a buddhijeevi. Somebody is going to reject you. If you are the dumbest person in the class, somebody else is going to reject you. If you are very successful and you drive the fanciest car and come into church, somebody is going to say, oh, big show off, look. Somebody is going to reject you. You come in a cycle, somebody else is going to look down upon you. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Amen. No matter what you do, praise the Lord, get the bottom line, you will be rejected. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you are the best worker in the class, or in the factory, somebody will reject you. At least the unions will reject you. If you are the worst worker in the class, in the factory, somebody else will reject you. No matter what you are in life, always remember from God's word, you cannot avoid rejection. People are going to say, well, who does he think he is? And I'm telling you from experience over years, you sit with some other men of God and people who serve the Lord, they'll tell you the same experience. Who does he think he is? They will reject you for good reason. They will reject you for bad reason. Praise the Lord. So you might as well make it a motto in your life. If I live, I live for Jesus. If I die, I die for Jesus. Let me please Jesus and Jesus alone. Oh, come on, church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you still with me tonight? The third area that you have to endure is what God's word says, temptation. Temptation is being defined as an attraction that leads you outside the path God has kept for you. I repeat again, an attraction that leads you outside the path God has kept for you. The first two, whether it be hardship or hostility, is from outside, but this one, temptation, is from inside. James chapter 1 verse 12. The book of James, the first chapter, verse 12. James chapter 1 verse 12.
Blessed is a man who endures temptation. When he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. When you speak about the crown of life, in the book of Revelations 2 and verse 10 says, if you are a martyr for Christ, you receive the crown of life. And in James 1 it says, if you endure temptation, you are getting a martyr's crown, which means temptations can be really challenging. I remember years back, I was sitting with a man of God and I told him, I was very young, I just come to the Lord. So I said, I was on fire for the Lord. So I said, oh, I want to live and I want to die for Jesus. He said, what is your ambition in life? I said, I want to be a martyr for Jesus Christ. I want to die for Jesus. He was a very mature, anointed servant of God. He looked at me and he said, you know what's more more harder than that? I said, what? He said, to die daily to every temptation that you face. And believe me, it is. Because when you study God's word, it says there, blessed is the man who endures temptation. When he's been tested and he comes through, he will receive the crown of life. That's the same crown given to martyrs. So temptations can be really powerful. But don't take a side turn. Don't go in behind. Give into temptation. Being tempted is not sin. But it's when you give into temptation that becomes a problem. Everybody will be tempted. In different areas of your life. There is never a point in your life before Jesus comes or before you die that you won't face temptation. Are you with me? Paul Yonggicho, the man of God, once a young preacher asked him, the pastor of the largest church in the world, Paul Yonggicho, somebody asked him, Pastor, you know, I get tempted. Sometimes I fall. What do I do? I mean, when do I get over temptation? So Paul Yonggicho said to that young pastor, he said, see, when he was 19, he gave his life for the Lord. And he said, when I was young, I thought if I, you know, maybe reach into middle, you know, 20s, I would get over temptation. He reached middle 20s, he said, I didn't get over temptation. So Yonggicho said, I thought if I get married, I would get over temptation. So he got married, he said, I didn't get over temptation. So he thought, okay, if I have children, then I'll get over temptation. He had children, he said, he didn't get over temptation. And when Paul Yonggicho was speaking to the young pastor, he said, I've been serving the Lord for over 70 years. But even now, I have to face temptation and to depend on the grace of God and overcome it by the grace of God. Are you with me? To be tempted is not a sin, but it is when you give into it. And the more you keep giving into it, the dangerous it becomes. But hallelujah, I believe tonight is a night when God's grace is gonna, you know, release an inward strength into you to overcome temptations in your life. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Just lift your hands and say, Lord, I need your grace to overcome temptation in my life. Lift your hands and pray. Hallelujah. We all need each of us to pray for God to give us the grace to overcome temptations in our life. Amen. You're tempted to be angry, aren't you? Anger is a powerful emotion. Never use it against people. Use it against a problem. Don't personalize it. Anger is never used against people. It's used against problems. A taxi driver overtook you and he acted funny in front of your car. Don't overtake him back and then show him your anger. He's not worthy of your anger. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Amen. Sometimes people think, you know, being angry is kind of manly. It's kind of good. No. I've always felt miserable after I've lost my cool. It is as if the Lord has taken off from my life. I have to go on my knees and say, Lord, I'm so sorry, please. It needs all of the grace of God to hold self-control. Sometimes you can be provoked to the limit, but you got to just... You need to just learn to walk away from a fight. Are you with me? But as a godly child, as a godly person, remember to have a godly anger against problem, not against people. You can be pretty mad at the devil. That's okay. You can be pretty upset against the cancerous growth in your body and rebuke it in the name of Jesus and see victory. I get angry when people are, you know, bound by the enemy or caught in kind of some kind of trouble, or you know the devil has literally spoiled their lives. I get so mad at the devil. It provokes me to go and pray, get a word from God and preach it, and pray till that bondage is broken off from somebody's life. That's how you channelize anger. We used to sing a song, "There are no grumpy faces in this Christian life." Praise the Lord. Are you still with me tonight? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, people will annoy you, but don't get angry with them. Just let go. The fifth one that you have got to endure. Huh? Are you still with me tonight? Is you got to endure delays. You got to endure. No one likes delays. We want everything now. You promise a child, you will take the child to Vigaland or to a zoo or wherever. 5 minutes later, they'll come and say, "When are we going?" They'll wake you up in the night, "When are we going?" Because you don't want to wait. Abraham, when he was 75, God came to him and said, "Son, you will have a child." Now, if I was Abraham, I would have said, "Lord, where were you when I was 25? Can you imagine? At 75, you don't want a baby. And God says, "Son, you will have a child. And then 25 years more." That's a huge delay. But he endured. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Amen. Sometimes, you know, people come for prayer. They want a breakthrough. They come for prayer. And sometimes God is just wanting them to be patient, to endure, to stay through. But what happens is, they don't get their breakthrough. And so what happens is, they'll think, okay, maybe this pastor is not good enough. Maybe let me go to another church, get another man of God to lay hands upon me and pray. Maybe my miracle will take place right now. And they go from one church to the other. I've seen that. And sometimes a good-looking or a nice prophet or a man of God might prophesy and say, "Oh, my brother, you are going to be the king tomorrow morning when you get up." But that doesn't happen, does it? Praise the Lord. Amen. Look at somebody and say, "I got to learn to endure delays in my life." Amen. I got to learn to endure delays in my life. I got to learn to endure. And so while you're waiting, don't get into any bad habits. While you're waiting for God to bring about your miracle, don't get into a bad habit. Some people say, "Pastor, God has told me, wait. "Yes, son, okay, what are you doing while you're waiting?" While you're waiting is doing something that is contradicted to God's word. There's no problem waiting, but wait on the Lord. Wait in worship, wait in faith, wait in prayer, wait in holiness, wait in surrender, wait leaning on the arms of the Lord. Hallelujah. And God will make it to pass, the thing that He's promised you, or bring it to pass, the thing that He's promised you. While you're waiting, allow God to work in you. Don't say, "I'm waiting," and then go and do your own stuff. And somebody calls you and says, "Aren't you coming for prayer?" "No, I'm waiting on the Lord." "Where are you waiting?" "I'm waiting in the new movie place, PVR. "Yeah, I'm waiting in PVR. Come on. Nobody likes a traffic delay, do you? Anybody likes a traffic delay? Somebody said, you know, patience is what we expect the guy behind us to have while we are driving, and the guy ahead of you not to have. You just want him to go fast. You want the guy behind you to be patient with you. When you are in a traffic block, what do you do? You look for a shortcut, a side road. And you get into a side road, you get into the gutter. Even the main roads are full of gutter now. But normally, in a different planet, in a different place, better roads. Are you still with me tonight, church? Praise the Lord. When you are in a good road, you're in a traffic block, there is a delay, you look for a site. You know, this time we were going into Kottayam for a function, for a marriage function, and one of my guys, what is that thing on your phone? GPS. We are in a traffic delay at 80 minor, just about half an hour more from there, 12 kilometers more into Kottayam. We are there in 8 to Manur. So he gets into the GPS. He's looking at, okay, we can't wait here. We need to get there. So he takes a route. And we go through that route. And then we look through the GPS. So we go through all the routes. And then finally we reach there 2 hours late. Let me tell you, while you are waiting, there is the pressure of a shortcut. Are you with me? When God has called you to endure a delay, there is always the pressure of a shortcut. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the final one, and I close with that, Matthew 24 verse 13. Endure to the end. Endure to the end. Matthew 24 verse 13.
And he who endures to the end shall be saved.
He who endures to the end shall be. He who endures halfway shall be. Does it say there? He who endures halfway, he who endures to the end. There are people who achieve things earthly, but never eternally, because they can't endure to the end. They achieve great things here, but they are lost eternally because they have not learned to handle disappointment, pain. Sometimes you cannot understand everything in life, what life throws at you. Are you with me? Please remember this. Some of you need to go through this message again. Sometimes you will never understand why. That's a huge question. Certain things happen. You cannot figure life out all the time. But one thing you can be sure, God is good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And you got to somehow trust Him and hold on to the end. Look at James 5 and verse 11 and I close. James 5 verse 11.
Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord.
You have seen the end
intended by the Lord.
Amen. Intended by the Lord. God was good. God restored everything back to him in the end. But he endured to the end. In spite of all that you go through, at the end you should have your faith in God, knowing that God will bring everything to to a beautiful end. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes in prayer this night. That empty space in your life is the space that is needed for endurance. You don't give up because hopes and expectations did not meet in your life. Because you went through pain, you don't give up on that. You endure to the end. Maybe you lost a loved one. Maybe you believed in something and that didn't come to pass. But you don't let go of your faith in God. You endure to the end. You hold on. The staying power. You keep the course. I was preaching this message. I was sharing this message with somebody. And, she told me. I had the privilege of leading her to the Lord 15 years back. She told me her pastor's wife, she's abroad in the U.S. Her pastor's wife went for a marathon race. And when the race started, she took off. And at the first turn itself, she lost her way. She went the wrong way. It is after going miles that she realized she had gone the wrong way. So she had to turn back, come back to that point. When she came back to that point, she thought, I better give up. There's no point in running because everybody else would have finished by this time. But because she was a believer, something in her told her, run, run, run. So she began to run and run. And when she reached the finishing line, she was surprised. There was a whole group of people waiting there at the finishing line. Everybody else had finished. They were all waiting there for her. Later on, she realized the reason was they had a prize for the last comer also. Now let me tell you, in your Christian race, sometimes you might have taken a detour and missed your way, and you've got to come back to the right way and you're going to start running. And you might be wondering, why should I run? Should I go on? But let me tell you, even though we might not reach first, even if we reach last, there is a prize for us. Jesus and His disciples and His church will be there. Praise the Lord. He will be there. Praise the Lord. We've got to just persevere, endure, and keep running and running for Jesus. Amen. Let's close our eyes in prayer tonight. Let's close our eyes in prayer tonight.